Hey everybody, welcome back to Small Talk Japan. On this show, we talk about all things Japan in English. My name is Mitch, and I'm here with...
Ricky.
What's up, Ricky?
Hey, bro.
We got a great show for you guys today. We're going to talk about Hanyu. We got a sad story about Hanyu. We got information about the embassy incident, the Israeli embassy in Tokyo. We're going to talk about a video that the Hilton released and then immediately took down.
Wow.
And it's really funny. We're going to talk about the men-only train car set to debut in Tokyo. And...
And following that, we're going to talk about the Johnny's singers.
Johnny's.
Mm-hmm. Not being pressed. Smile up. The mushroom-shaped earbuds.
Yeah.
Releasing next year. Also, Kotatsu tables and their evolution to sofas.
Right.
Four sofas. How young people apparently have a phone phobia. And finally, the Japanese restaurants tripling abroad.
Roll that intro. Okay, Ricky, how are you?
Good.
Yesterday was fun.
Yeah,
very fun. It was long.
Good burgers, good chili cheese fries.
We had a giant barbecue yesterday, kind of out of the city. And the chef who's usually making like top-notch, five-star Italian food was like making smash burgers for us.
Yeah.
It was good.
All greasy.
And chili fries. And I was working as bartender.
Yeah. And there was excellent weather. It didn't rain. This event had been canceled twice beforehand.
God smiled upon you this time.
This third time's the charm.
Yeah, this event has been canceled twice due to rain. And we finally moved it to a completely different location and it was fine.
Yeah. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm happy. I'm so happy about how the event went.
Yeah, it went really well. It was really good. It was an international event, had people from all over the world, and it was good. Good burgers. Good
food. We're like 30 people.
Now let's just discuss it. Why does Carl's daughter Anna hate me?
You're still on about that?
She's 4 years old and she just fucking hates me. And there's no reason. No one knows why. She doesn't even know why.
You're the boogeyman.
Like she would come into the room and she'll see me and she'd be like, nope. And she'll nope the fuck out.
Yeah. I it's quite entertaining actually.
Yeah. She just does not like me.
Even like she takes care to not be like line of sight with you.
Yeah. So like, she'll hide behind her dad. And I'm like, dude, why? let's talk about this Hanyu thing. This is really sad. So if you guys don't know, Mr. Hanyu, who used to be like the top figure skater in Japan, he got married recently and, like I think 3 months ago or maybe 4 months ago, And and he's getting divorced.
What?
Here we go. Japanese figure skating icon, two-time Olympic champion Yuzuru Hanyu announced his divorce on social media Friday, only three months after his marriage was publicized, saying the couple has been troubled by slander, stalking, and overheated media reporting.
Wow.
So basically they got harassed by everybody. And he said, when I thought about the future, I decided to divorce because I wanted my partner to be happy. To be happy without any restrictions, Hanyu, 28, said in a statement posted on X, formerly called Twitter. Hanyu, who has drawn avid fans from around the world, announced his marriage on August 4th, but he did not reveal the identity of his partner, who he said was not a celebrity. And that's it. Hanyu is now...
Well, that's kind of sad. Yeah. He sao-cowed out of that relationship.
He what?
Sao-cowed.
Sao-cowed?
I think that's what it's called, right? That that little flip thing they do on ice figure skating.
But anyway,
triple toe.
Yeah, I it's really sucks. You don't want to be like, you know, paparazzi like harassed into, you know, changing your life like that. That really sucks. But anyway, I think Hanyu went to global fame because there are a couple times where he won a gold medal and he's sitting there on the top little box. You know, it's like the number one box. And he's like, hey, friends, come up here too. You guys can come up here too. And like got right up there.
Yeah. And doesn't he get like Winnie the Poohs?
Yeah.
Or Mickey Mice?
Maybe it's Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Poohs. Winnie the Poohs.
Winnie the Pooh. Okay. So he like, they throw it on the ice and then they have to go and clean it.
Yeah. All the rink.
There's also another cute video where I forgot what it was, but like, he couldn't see over the other giant skaters. So like he was in the back and he was like jumping to try to see what was going on. And then so somebody just like picked him up.
They picked him up.
He's really cute. Let's get to a little bit more serious news here. So a car rammed into the Israeli embassy barricade in Tokyo, injuring an officer. A car crashed into the barricade set up near the Israeli embassy in Tokyo on Thursday, injuring a riot police officer who was on guard amidst heightened security due to the Israeli-Hamas conflict, police said. The police arrested 53-year-old, I'm not going to read his name, a member of a right-wing group at the scene for allegedly obstructing the officer's duty by hitting him with the minivan.
Okay.
I love you, Japan. Anyway, this, if you guys look at this picture on the video version of the podcast, it's a pretty serious car, and he like rammed it into the barricade. Yeah. I think that more and more of these stories we're going to hear about all over the world because, you know, as this conflict continues, it's everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's getting, you know, reported on every day, so people can't turn away from it.
So I watched exactly one debate. I'm not going to say his name. I think I said this last video, but one debate that this right winger posted on YouTube. I watched one, and now YouTube thinks I'm in love with this guy. My whole feed is just him.
Your algorithm.
And I'm like, damn it, YouTube. Don't be so dumb. Let's see. Let's talk about a couple. Are any of yours serious?
This one's kind of serious.
Oh, let's go to that one then. Go.
Well, halfway serious. Well, earlier this year, you guys know of Johnny's and Associates. They, were outed from having
BBC ran a documentary saying that a lot of the kids in the Johnny's and Associates group were molested by Johnny, the owner, who passed away a couple of years ago.
Exactly. So finally, there's been a bunch of consequences for this. And one of the biggest ones this year is that the NHK, the National Broadcasting Network here, has a end of the year show called Kohaku.
Yep.
Utagasen.
It's basically like the two teams, the boys team and the girls team, and they sing. It's a sing off.
Yeah.
At the end, it's like 4 hours long.
Karaoke battle. It's amazing. Yeah. It's Japan. It's very Japanese.
It's very Japanese.
So this year, none of them have been invited to join.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is the first time in 44 years that the NHK has not called them up. So you can see that it's a big thing.
You guys can hear this background noise. We have our window open today because Josh is feeling a little sniffly. So we're... Wow. That sounds like a... Wow. Guys, you get to hear it for yourselves. That's the Bozozoku.
They exist.
They're so annoying.
They have pompadours and leather jackets.
Actually, I pulled the story, but there's another Johnny's associate has apparently committed suicide somewhere. And I didn't want to put that. I don't like suicide stories. But yeah, so the fallout from this Johnny's thing is just continuing to grow. Speaking of fallout, Hilton Japan apologizes for disrespectful ad disparaging traditional Japanese inn. Now, I'm going to say this. This is not disrespectful. This video is 150% fucking accurate. Do we have it with sound? Can we play it? Josh, can you play that video? So this, if you guys are just listening and you can't see it, what's going on here? The video opens with a young couple standing in front of a desk of a ryokan, which is a Japanese-style inn, where an employee is checking them in and also rattling off a lengthy list of rules and restrictions. She says, next, the baths are open from 5 a.m. to 11 p.m. Dinner will be brought to your room at 6 p.m., so no matter what, please make sure that you have finished eating by 9 o'clock. Breakfast is from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. with the last chance to order at 9:30. Around 8 o'clock, the dining room gets very crowded. Checkout is at 10 a.m. Here is your room key. And this commercial is 100% accurate. It's accurate. Ryokans suck. No, they do. They absolutely do. They have so many rules and regulations and restrictions, and they're always run by old people who go to sleep at like 6 p.m. They suck. Hilton, you should have never pulled this ad. You should have just left it up there because it's absolutely right. Anyway, all the ryokans and people got pissed. And they're like, this is terrible. And then Hilton's like, sorry. And they removed it. And then the Hilton group issued an apology. But I wouldn't. I'd be like, fuck you, ryokans.
Like, how dare you call us out on our
bullshit,
on our practices, yeah.
I mean, like, if you're an old couple, not a young couple, and you like want to just go and relax somewhere and just like stay in that one place, I guess this is a cool experience. But other than that, it's basically shit. Ryokans suck.
I've never stayed in one, so I don't know, but...
There's like two types of like traditional ryokan type experience. You can get ryokan, which is Japanese style Indian. There's also a thing called a pension.
A pension?
So I think this word comes from pensioners. So this is like a relaxing place for pensioners to go. I don't know. It's called a pension, which is in written in katakana.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyway, it's like an Airbnb. No, it's like a ryokan, but you have like shared facilities. So instead of like most ryokan, depending on the ryokan, you can have shared showers or like individualized showers. It really depends on where you stay, but in a pension, it's more shared. Like the dining room is shared, the shower area is shared, the whole thing is shared. Mm. And anyway, they're both, they're not for me. I like my freedom. I don't want to talk to the people. You know what I mean?
Oh man. One day I want to try it out. I want to try it out. Just see.
You should give it true or not. You should give it a try. I recommend giving it one try, but then, you know. Speaking of things that are fun, men only car train in Tokyo, this is a part of Weak Men's Association awareness campaign. I think this is translated poorly. This is probably like yowai in Japanese, which just that does mean weak, but it could be vulnerable. It's probably vulnerable men's association awareness campaign. Anyway.
Okay.
It's the brainchild. So this train, this is a men's only train, is a brainchild of Japan Weak Men's Center, which I'm pretty sure means Japan Vulnerable Men's Center. Anyway, a Tokyo-based non-government organization. The group says that its intent in designing a train car for men is to ride in, is to raise awareness that there are men who are sexually victimized by women, as well as men who feel distressed riding trains because they fear that they will be falsely accused of groping a female passenger following unintended physical contact as passengers are pressed together on crowded trains. So in big cities, they have a women's only train during rush hours. So like only women can board the train. This prevents chikan, the groping of women, and really, really when you're pressed into the train like this. But this association wants to make one, is making one for just men. And I don't know what they're talking about with this like sexually victimized by women stuff, but the unintended physical contact as passengers are pressed together, that's real. That is really real. Like I remember one time I was in Tokyo and there was a woman sitting in front of me on the bench and I was standing in front of her. So you can kind of imagine where her face is. Okay. And like it's fluid dynamics at this point, right? Where you're moving around on the train, there's lots of people behind you, they're like pushing into you. And like I'm trying to push back because I don't want to go forward.
Right. You don't want to put, you know,
areas into places.
Yeah.
Okay.
Areas into places.
and so I'm having to use a lot because like I'm bracing myself on the top with the bar on the top. I'm having to use quite a lot of my muscular strength to prevent from like slamming into this poor woman. And I just remember thinking like, this sucks for me. I don't want to be here. And it probably sucks for her too, but I don't want to be here. I was just like, that's like, but if it was a dude, I would not give a fuck. I'd be like, whatever. So that, and she was a young lady too. She was maybe in her 20s or something like that. The men-only car is being, as it's being called, will run in Tokyo Sakura Tram, also known as the Touden Arakawa line, Tokyo's last remaining streetcar line. Rather than being a policy decision from the rail operator, though, the men-only car is coming about by way of Japan Weak Men's Center, renting out an entire train. The tram's trains are single carriage format. On November 18th, and despite men-only car name, the organizers say that anyone, regardless of gender, is welcome. Fucking, what's the point of it? What the hell are you doing, guys? Fucking,
it's raising awareness. It's not solving the thing.
No, there's a
maybe.
Wait. There's another stupid light in here. Okay, here you go. At the same time, the men-only train car is an odd choice of venue to raise awareness of men who are sexually victimized by women. While the Japan Weak Men's Center says it receives calls from men who are suffering from domestic violence from their wives, no cases of women groping men on crowded trains have been reported in recent memory. The fuck are you guys doing? The hell are you guys doing? Guys, I'm making light of this, but female on male violence is a real thing. Obviously, the reverse is like the lion's share of domestic violence, obviously. But female on male violence is a real thing. If you are being victimized out there, regardless of who is doing the violence, you should report that person and get help. And because you don't deserve to be in that situation, no one does.
Yeah, well, scary stuff. Over 70% of young adults surveyed in Japan have a phone phobia. So more than 70% of those in their 20s and 30s in Japan have a phobia of the phone. Mm. The phone.
The phone.
The phone. So they asked around 562 people aged 20 or older who work in offices around Tokyo if they felt comfortable or uncomfortable talking on the phone. And about 58% of all respondents said very much or somewhat. So this percentage increased when narrowed down to those in their 20s and 30s. So about 70% of that group. And the number of young people suffering from phone phobia may be increasing due to the spread of social media messaging functions. Wow, that was a mouthful. They have reduced opportunities to talk on the phone. And the reasons listed for being afraid of this is they have to stop what I'm doing to answer it, which breaks my concentration.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is I get worried if I can't answer correctly with my knowledge,
mm-hmm.
which is fair. And when a person in charge is not available, I'm worried if I'll be able to properly catch what the caller is saying. So this is people just being very polite.
How do you feel about talking on the phone?
I don't mind it, but it's annoying. I mean, I think it's really fast. It's a fast way to get information across. So, you know, if you need something to do urgently, just like call the person up. You talk about the details and then finish. Whereas with messages, it's like, oh, okay, you know, get back. It's like an email. Get back to me whenever you can.
I will go out of my way to use services that don't require phone calls. For example, if like a restaurant A and restaurant B, if restaurant B is more delicious than restaurant A, but restaurant A allows reservations, I don't go to B. I'm not going to call them up and be like, hi, can five people fit in at this? I don't want to call people. That's the worst. Mochinaga Pizza here in Kagoshima, they're the best pizza. I hate calling them every fucking time I call them. I'm like, why don't you guys just have like a form on your website so I can just order there or something like that? I don't want to talk to people.
And it would be much easier for them too. I feel like it would, you know, the orders would just pop up. Yeah. And they just continue.
Maybe it's just I don't like to call people in Japanese, like in English. But then again, I was on my bank on the phone with my bank the other day, and it was like this sassy Southern belle on the other end. And we were like talking and chatting it up, and like it was the worst use of her time. Like we could have done what we did in like half the time had we not been chatty Cathy's. But yeah, I guess it's just me. I don't want to talk
chatty
Japanese.
Cathy's.
I don't want to speak Japanese on the phone. It's annoying. speaking of annoying, I guess this is annoying. Cannabis derived gummies probed in Tokyo after 10 fall ill. Gummies allegedly containing substances derived from cannabis are under police investigation. It's like they're like, we're investigating you, gummies, you know. After nearly 10 people who ate them were taken to the hospital recently in Tokyo, investigative sources said Wednesday. Five people aged from their teens to their 50s were taken ill on November 4th after eating the gummies, which were handed out by a man during a festival held at a park in western Tokyo. The man admitted to handing out the gummies at the festival and was quoted by the sources as telling the police in voluntary questioning, since I ate some myself and felt good afterwards, I wanted everyone to eat them.
Okay.
It's, yeah.
But didn't they learn don't take candy from strange men at parks?
They did not. So they did take those candy and went to the hospital. HHC is a synthetic substance with a structure similar to THC, a constituent of cannabis, and can cause effects such as hallucinations and memory impairment. While THC is banned in Japan, HHC is not, according to Health Ministry.
Not banned yet.
Not banned yet. That's getting the ban stick.
Yeah, but I was reading something about this and that. Yeah, a lot of these, you know, substances are still like rarely available in Japan. Just not everyone knows about it. And yeah, and then the government is just like in a rat race to like ban them as they come up.
There's this van, a picture of a van that I saw on Reddit, and it's just like selling this stuff out the back of a van in like Shibuya.
Yeah, that's a picture I saw. Yeah, that was wild.
It looks like, should this be happening? Because it's got like little marijuana leaf stickers all over the van. And I'm like, is this happening? And then it's like HHC, it's not THC. So no, like you're right. Every time one of these comes up, like people start selling them, and then like, you know, we get a patch. Yeah. Patch Japan. You look at the patch notes, it's like, in this patch, HHC is no bad.
Oh, man.
They update their software.
Haribo's. Well,
let's go.
Another candy making news. Mushroom shaped earbuds based on popular Japanese Kinoko no Yama snacks go on sale. So Japanese snack giant Meiji Co. Limited is set to start selling wireless earbuds that look just like its popular mushroom shaped Kinoko no Yama chocolate snacks, the company announced earlier this month. Hey, those look actually kind of funny.
No, ooh, they look dumb. Hmm. They look dumb.
Huh.
So you're going to have a mushroom growing out of your ear. It just looks dumb.
It's, yeah, Ear fungus, yeah. After Meiji posted fictitious wireless earbuds on his official X, formerly Twitter, account and received a stream of comments asking for them to actually make them, so they decided they were going to release them in spring 2024. And it's trying to, I think it's a marketing thing. You know, they want to globalize their Kinoko no Yama and their Takinoko no Sato candies, neck brands. Yeah. And apparently the earbuds will be equipped with simultaneous translation function that supports 127 languages.
No, that's not going to happen.
I don't know. Maybe.
Have you ever used one of those? Those are awful.
Yeah, they're slow.
Yeah, because if you don't have the full sentence, you can't translate it. So it's never going to happen like Star Trek. It's never going to happen.
One day, it'll be cool.
Universal translator. You know, they had so in Star Trek, they have this universal translator. And what it does is it translates everything universally for everybody. That's so stupid. It's so dumb. The way that they portrayed it in the show is so dumb. What they should have done is it's an implant in everybody's ear, this universal translator, okay? What they should have done is explain the universal translator as being a device that's implanted into your wherever, and it gives you the ability to speak the international language. Mm-hmm. So everybody that has this can speak to each other using the international language. But they're like, no, it's like live translation in your ear. I'm like, that's so dumb. That doesn't make any sense. You guys did not think this through. And there's an episode where Quark and like the other Ferengi go back in time and they're like Roswell in America.
Oh, yeah.
And their universal translator stopped working.
Right, right. So they don't understand.
It's whatever. Really dumb. It's really dumb. Star Trek. Why? It was dumb. I get it. You don't want to like have to deal with like learning a new language every time they meet a new race. I get it. So they were like, how do we get over this? Oh, universal translators. I get it. But still, it's dumb.
It's science fiction. They tried.
They tried.
And you know who else is trying? Number of Japanese restaurants abroad triples in last decade up to 187,000. Wow. So there's increased threefold in the year 2023 as the country's eatery chains have expanded worldwide. So according to the survey by the Ministry of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, they attribute some of the growth due to interest from anime fans in Central and South America. Mm. Hey, Latino nerds, let's go.
Latino nerds.
So by region, Asia and Europe both saw gains about 20% from 2021 to 122,000 and 16,400 respectively. And by country, China had the most Japanese restaurants at 78,760, followed by the United States at 26,000, and then South Korea at 18,210.
Well, I mean, that makes sense.
Wow. So let's see what kind of restaurants have gone out. One chain called Royal Holdings Co., which does Tenden Tenya. Have you ever eaten a Tenden Tenya?
No.
Neither have I.
I think that most of the Japanese restaurants in America are run by like other Asian people, like Chinese and Koreans and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like Mexican restaurants being run by like Indian people.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's a thing, at least in Canada.
What? Indian people opening Mexican restaurants?
The first Mexican restaurant in Mongolia,
okay,
I think, was a bunch of Indian dudes. What? Thank you guys though for spreading the love of Mexican food.
So I gotta admit to like this is not racism, but it kind of sounds racist. I was hanging out with my friend in Fukuoka, and I couldn't remember what stan he's from. He's like from that area of the world somewhere. And I was just sitting there, I was thinking, I was like, I can't remember. And then my other friend, Alex, asked him, he's like, where are you from? And he's from a more Arab country. And this is a very, very, and he lives in Fukuoka the full time, right? And so I look at him and go, hey, where's the best kebab in Fukuoka? And he told me, I'm going to go eat that shit on Thursday. We're going to find out.
Oh, yeah. But,
dude, remember the sad kebab in Osaka?
Oh, dude, that was the saddest
that
kebab
was so
ever.
So sad.
You guys imagine it's like it was a
shitty hot pocket was what it was.
Even hot pockets are better. Dude, that thing was like a flour tortilla with some like lettuce.
Yeah.
Some sad excuse for like kebab
sauce.
Chicken.
It was chicken and sauce that was not spicy.
And maybe at half a tomato slice.
Yeah. And, it was so sad.
And that was it. It was the saddest thing ever.
And it was like not at all the flavor that a kebab should be.
Yep.
It was just like.
We were just sad and angry eating this thing.
I was so sad. It was a sad time.
Yeah. Well, you know, at least we have something to warm up our sad little hearts now. Kotatsu heated tables for sofas rising in popularity. So giving Japan best of both worlds this winter. So if you guys don't know, Kotatsu are, that looks pretty cool. Kotatsu are tables with heaters attached to the underside and a thick quilt sandwiched between a two-layer top. And so people in Japan just kind of like tuck their legs under it, and then, you know, are nice and warm and toasty during the winter months. The only thing is that it's usually at floor level, so you have to like sit on the ground because it's more traditional Japanese style. So now that that we have more sofas in the apartment, the kotatsu don't really make sense. So now this company has gone ahead and made them so they're adjustable in height.
Mm.
They can enjoy them both on the ground and now on your the comfort from of your own sofa. Amazing. The company's Home Cordy. You guys are looking for it.
So when the when I went to Osaka like 20 years ago, I was like hanging out at this like multi-level club and we were all drunk and everything. And then I was like, oh, should I have to go home because I have to leave early in the morning? And so like my friend who I was staying at his place, he came to pick me up in his like motorbike because it was like middle of the night and there's no trains. And so like the only thing that I have from this trip, I have two pictures from the trip. One is like meeting a girl in that multi-level club that I've never seen again. So I just have this random picture of this random girl. And then two, all of us guys, like there was four of us, like all passed out under the tiny little kotatsu in this poor man who just got divorced from his wife's house.
What?
So like the only thing in the house is like this kotatsu in this giant house that used to be a happy place. And it's like sad kotatsu in the middle of it. And there's like four guys like curled up under it in the middle of the winter in Osaka.
What is
that? I don't even remember who the fuck took the picture. Maybe I took the picture. I don't remember, but I was just like, this is sad.
Well, at least you guys were warm.
It was very warm under the little kotatsu, but you can get burns if you sleep under the kotatsu. For you guys don't know, kotatsu is like a table that has a heating element on the bottom of the table and then like a blanket curtain that goes around it.
Mm-mm.
And so you put your feet in there and it like warms you up.
Yep. And all nice and toasty. And people sleep there. They take naps.
So now we're officially done with the news. Let's fuck around a little bit.
All right.
I drove 1,500 fucking kilometers last week.
Otsukaresama.
I am so tired.
Otsukaresama.
You're so dumb.
Got him.
1,000. It was actually 1,497. I was pissed. I was like, I should just drive in a circle, get it to 1,500.
Just like counting. You had some cool places, right? You went to like Miyazaki.
Yeah, we went all around the entire prefecture. The entire island of Kyushu. As norm, like from Tokyo lens, they say Kyushu. We went all around Kyushu.
Nice.
We went Miyazaki, Kagoshima, we went to Kumamoto, went across the little, with the ferry to Unzen. We went to Nagasaki, we went to Saga, Fukuoka, and then Oita. And we went to this little town in Oita, and it's called Nakatsu, T-S-U, but everybody was calling it Nakatsu. I guess it's hard to say Nakatsu.
Nakatsu?
Anyway, Nakatsu. So we went there, and like we found this really sad arcade. Arcade is like an awning between shops, so you can't rain on there. And it was like a little bit longer than I thought it was going to be. Don't get me wrong, but it was pretty sad. And I remember I was sitting there and like we were at this izakaya, we're eating. And I was like, Josh was faced with his back to the door. And I was like, Josh, this really hot girl is about ready to walk in. Oh my God. Don't look. Here she comes. It's like this like 95-year-old woman with a walker. Like everybody in this entire town is just like really old. And it was like, and then they're all like, the what did they say? They're like, the karaage, the Japanese fried chicken in this town is like to die for. It was a solid okay.
A solid okay.
It was a solid okay.
Okay.
The next day at a onigiri-san, we had, Josh and Alex had like onigiri like lunch, which onigiri is like rice balls. I don't eat carbs. So I noticed on their little machine that they had like a Western style chicken. And I was like, hell yeah, I got that. It was like a basket of awesome karaage. It was great. It was like, they were so big. So it was like, I ate like an entire chicken there. Anyway, that was better than the Nakatsu bullshit. So the thing that was interesting Nakatsu. About Nakatsu was that there's a bar type in Japan called a snack. You know this. It's a counter with mama-san, maybe karaoke, and it's basically like you go and you pay like 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 yen. You sit and talk to the mama-san, you get nomi hodai. The system is different everywhere, but that's basically what it is. And they give you some like little things to snack on, so call it a snack. Okay.
Nice.
In Nakatsu, which I'm pretty sure the population is like 5. It's very small. It's not a big place. The Toto Toilet Factory is there. So that's one thing.
Cool.
Yeah. But anyway, it's not that big of a population. They have thousands and thousands of snack bars in this one little place. And I was like asking the alcohol delivery guy, I was like, how do you guys possibly support all of these fucking snacks? And apparently in the weekend, Kitakyu and like Osaka and all these people, they like come in for business trips and swell the city, and they all want to go and drink with girls, so they go to the snacks. So then we asked them, we're like, okay, where should we go? And the dude at Aldiku, the what is it called, the liquor place, the liquor store, he's like, oh, well, the snacks don't open until 9 p.m. So I suggest that you go over to that store, that place over there. It's a little restaurant, and you know, kill some time, get a drink at the counter or something like that. And we're like, okay, cool. Go to this place. Start talking to the mama at this izakaya, this counter izakaya. And we're like, yeah, the Oliku guy, the liquor guy, he like recommended this place. And she's like, oh yeah, was he kind of young? I was like, yeah. Was his hair kind of long? I was like, yeah. Was he wearing glasses? Yeah. He's my son. I was like, motherfucker.
Sales.
I was like, motherfucker. But it was cool because it was a pretty cool place. Don't get me wrong. The mama-san was really fun. And then I was trying to get the mama-san to give us a recommendation for a snack bar to go to. And I was like, hey, mama, if I was your son, because his son's like, what, 25 or something like that. I was like, if I was your son, where would you recommend I go tonight for like to get a drink somewhere around here? And she's like, son, I would recommend you stay right where you are with your mom and have a drink with me. And I was just like, no, okay, that's not going to work. I was like, what if today is closed? This is not an open day for you. It's your day off. What would you say to me still being your son? And she said, I would take you to a karaoke box and we'd hang out together. Mommy and son. I'm like, this is not working.
Change query.
And I was just like, fuck it. And anyway, one of the guys at the liquor store, he recommended us go to this place called Five. So we walk in there and immediately it's like gay Japanese men. Is it chocolate? You know, just they're not actually gay, they're just gay antics from Japanese men.
Do you get the Shinjuku handshake?
Not this time.
Okay.
No, because it was still like 9:05 p.m.
Okay. Oh, okay. Too early for the Shinjuku handshake.
Too early for the Shinjuku handshake. Anyway. So like we're talking to these guys, and then the girl comes over, she's like making her drinks and everything, she's talking to us, and I was like, then the drunk and acting gay Japanese guys leave because their time is over. And so they leave, and so it's just me, Alex, Josh, and there's this lady, the woman who's working there. And I'm looking at her, I'm like, you look really fucking young. And I asked her, I was like, how old are you? She's like 18. I was like, and I'm done. I was like, fucking, how are you working here? You're 18, the legal, she's not drinking. But I was just like, Jesus, what's wrong with you? And then I was like, I had an option to be like, hello, fellow children, or be like dad mode. So I started asking her about her life and her plans. And I was like, you know, what do you do every day? She's like, I talk on the phone and I'm on TikTok. I'm like, surprise.
Then you went dad mode.
It was boring. I didn't like that place at all. I don't recommend Nakatsu. If you have a chance to avoid that place, I recommend avoiding it.
Were the toilets good at least? I mean,
you know what? They weren't.
That's
they were
so sad.
They were those old ass, like the one in not in the snack bar, but the one in the mama's, the izakaya was a squatter turned Western toilet with the add-on thing.
Yeah, just like,
yeah, it's the worst, right? So I always lift up toilet seats with my shoe. I don't touch anything in a toilet. I don't touch anything.
Did you kick the toilet off the squat?
So I went to lift up the toilet seat and it like got like it came off the squatter and I was like, fuck. So I was like using my foot like an armless person trying to put it back, and I put it back and I was just like, I hate this place.
This guy's like doing taekwondo in the toilet stall. It's like
one reason why I fucking hate our gym. Another reason why I hate our gym, not only is a little placard that says gentlemen put on backwards, why this? Not only that, but the toilet has something in front of the little lever thing, the flushing lever thing. So I can't flush the toilet with my shoe. This is the only toilet I've ever encountered that I cannot flush it with my shoe. I am pretty nimble and I can do this, except in our gym. That fucking toilet. I hate our gym.
Think of it as training, bro. It's just, you know, poking around with your toe. Just gonna get it eventually.
Just
get the reps in.
So while we were doing this whirlwind tour of Kyushu, we went to Fukuoka for like a day and a half, and I love Fukuoka so much. It's just like my favorite place. Like I'm totally gonna move there. I just love Fukuoka, and I'm going there on Thursday, so I'll be gone again. Bye bye.
Nice, have fun.
I actually
bro.
Don't know how we're gonna do the next small talk Japan. I just messaged Radio Yuki, and I was like, hey Yuki, by the way, I'm not here this weekend. She's like, fuck. I'm like, yeah, sorry.
Well, maybe we'll just do it. We'll do like a one-man thing, or maybe Josh and I.
No. We'll just probably do it on Monday. Like we're doing today's show on Monday. We usually do our shows on Saturdays. Last time when I was drunk and I came here, I was on a Sunday. We all learned from that mistake. We're not doing that again. I was an hour late.
Nice.
And I was like, sorry, everybody. Here's advice to people. If you're ever late, Don't make an excuse. In fact, if you ever do anything wrong, don't make excuses. If you start coming up with excuses, you're just going to piss the people off more. If you're late, you just say, guys, I'm late. I'm sorry. And then if they want to know why, you can explain why. But just start off with the sorry first. That's my advice. Don't be late if you can help it. But if you are late, just say, I'm late. I'm sorry. That's it.
Thank you for waiting.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right. If you're like, oh, I have this like incredible story of why I'm late. You know, my house was on fire, whatever. It's like people just that you've frustrated the people already because you're late. So I'm talking to myself here because I was an hour late last week. So you've already frustrated the people already because you're late. And then you're going to extra frustrate them for coming with bullshit, like absolutely transparent reasons. And this is anything. If anybody comes to you and criticizes you about anything, stop and understand that their criticism, you should view it like money. Like this, I'm giving you a present, a basket of money. And you go, thank you. And if you can say thank you to any criticism that people give you, then you can self-reflect and learn and grow. Not all criticism is accurate. Some of it's bullshit. And then that's the funny money that you should throw away.
Yeah.
But most criticism, if given to you by a friend or a colleague or a coworker, is usually generally meant for your own good. If you're like, excuse, you're not going to go anywhere. You're not going to learn.
Yeah. And you take it and you invest it. Growth.
If somebody brings to me shocking criticism, like something that I completely do not believe is true, my very first reaction is always to ask a lot of questions. Like if somebody came to me and they said, Mitch, you're such a liar, because I don't lie, and you're like, you're such a liar, I would be like immediately confused, and I would like, no, but then I need to know why this person is saying this. So I'd be like, okay, why do you think I'm a liar? Let's break this down and tell me all of your reasons. I will gladly listen to all of the criticism without fighting or anything like that. I'll just listen to it. And at the end, that's my opportunity to assess whether or not I think this person's full of shit, or if I think that, oh, this is something that I've overlooked. Right? So I think that's the best way to do that. But anyway, if you're ever late, just say, I'm sorry. We're going to get so destroyed on Sunday. Oh my God.
Wait, I'm getting destroyed. Oh
yeah.
Yeah. yesterday, the doctor friend that invited us, he was like, oh yeah, next weekend. I was like, yeah. And I couldn't remember what it was. And then I remembered
barbecue.
I was talking to him and he's like, do you like tequila? And I'm like, yes, I do.
I got two completely no description videos from this doctor friend of mine. One is just a photo of like 12 bottles of tequila. And I'm like, okay. And the other one's just like a large house, like video of a large house. And I was just like, don't understand what this is all about. But then like later, he's like, I built a new house. It's got a crazy outdoor area for barbecues, for American style barbecues. And I have a bunch of bottles of tequila. Come on over. And I'm like, okay.
It's gonna be fun.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. I mean, cause I get back from, I'm gonna be off the Shinkansen and then right to his house.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
I don't even know where it is. I need details.
Yeah, he told me and I was just like, I don't know where that is. It's somewhere in the city. It's somewhere not far away, I think.
We'll figure it out.
Anyway, I think that's been our show. We're going to go and be productive today because we were definitely not productive at all yesterday. What time did you wake up today?
I woke up.
What time did you go early. Home?
Early, 2 a.m.
I went home at midnight. You're saying 2 a.m. is early.
Yeah.
We started drinking yesterday at like, I don't know, 1.
Three.
Started drinking at three.
Finished at 2 a.m. It's early.
Yeah.
I mean, compared to my morning on Saturday morning, Sunday morning.
What was Sunday morning? Oh, yeah.
I finished at 6 a.m.
What were you doing until 6 a.m. on Saturday?
You know, having a good time with bros. Just throwing it out at a bar.
Oh, yeah. I heard that. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I know. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Anyways, yeah. Productive week.
Yeah. Drinking too much. Guys, it's been our show today. If you look in the video description, you can find links to all the articles that we read. There's also a link to our Patreon if you want to be one of our supporters. We always appreciate our patrons. We give them a monthly personalized video, and I think we're going to start an Instagram account for them soon. We have a Discord server where they get to ask questions and all that other stuff. So if you guys want to be a patron, please click on the link below. And our patrons bought these mics. These are our patrons' mics. We should put their names on it.
Ooh,
Patreon mix. Yeah. Hey guys, it's been our show. Please like and subscribe if you haven't already done so, and we'll see you guys next week. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening, and a special thank you to our Patreon sponsors, Jan Myler, Jen, Justin Perkins, Ellen, Dennis P, Ellen Mary, Clayton Jung, aka Back in the Clay YouTube, Corey Smith, and Joshua. We appreciate all of your support. Thank you.